Welcome to Valley Podcast. Valley Christian Church is located on Cedar Avenue, just south of Apple Valley. To learn more about our church and how you can get involved, go to valleycc.org. Here's the latest recording from our current teaching series, Never Forsaken.
Sing with me, will you? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they took him from the cross? Were you there when they took him from the cross? Were you there when they took him from the cross? Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they took him from the cross? And of course, unless you're very, very, very old, you weren't. And that's really at the heart of one of our problems when it comes to Good Friday and Easter. We weren't there, but we want it to be as important as if we were. There are probably times in your life, if we could get to know a little bit about any one of you, there's probably some time in your life where something has been so devastating, so difficult, a loss so traumatic, an experience so intense, that if we asked you up here to talk about it, you would find that difficult. And not just because you don't like talking in front of groups, but because, just to think about it causes you to tremble. Tremble. The crucifixion of Jesus is talked about so often that even those who care deeply about it, those who love Jesus, those who worship God for the sacrifice of Christ, are able to think about it, are able to see a cross, are able to come to a Good Friday service and not tremble. And so tonight, I won't lie to you. I'd like you to tremble a bit. I'd like this to be something that in some way shakes you, that in some way has an intensity and a gravity to it, that you're not quite sure what to do with the experience. You know, it wasn't just the people around the cross trembling. In the Gospels, we read about Jesus who prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, prayed long and hard in the Garden of Gethsemane. It says that he wept. It says that he had great drops of sweat and blood mingled, and that he prayed, "Oh God, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me." Because the thought of going to Calvary makes you tremble. When you've seen what human beings can do to other human beings, and you've seen a cross before, and believe me, everybody in that time had seen it. The Romans saw to that. And one of the reasons the Romans made sure everybody knew what a crucifixion looked like is because they wanted you to tremble. They wanted you to tremble at the power of Rome. And Jesus, the one that everybody in the New Testament refers to as Lord, in a time when a common greeting was "Caesar is Lord," this Jesus who is Lord takes that cross, goes up that hill, suffers that death, and demonstrates the kind of power and lordship he came to bring. Not a boot to the neck, not a gun to the head, but a life laid down for all. All through our current teaching series at Valley, we've been talking about God's faithfulness. And I have been holding up constantly the idea that I believe that Psalm 22, one of the songs in the temple hymnal, was a song that Jesus probably had devoted to memory, a song that Jesus had probably leaned into, because when you face the trembling task of going to Calvary, you know you're going to deal with feelings of being alone and forsaken. And so tonight, I want to just read through that entire psalm. I think one of the questions that we deal with in our lives is, has God forsaken us? I think it's a question Jesus grappled with that day on Golgotha. And I think the answer to Psalm 22's first question, has God forsaken you? I think when you read the whole psalm, the answer is no. Let's read it. I'll read it. You follow along with me. The psalmist writes, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. I cry out by night, but I find no rest." That's the feeling of being forsaken, isn't it? a cry that just goes off and seems unheard. Yet. That's a very important word in this song, isn't it? My God, it seems like you can't hear me. It seems like you've forsaken me. But yet, you are enthroned as the Holy One. What's that? That's a statement of faith, isn't it? I feel forsaken, but wait a minute. You're the Holy One. You're the one on the throne. You are the one Israel praises. And in you, our ancestors put their trust. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried out, and they were saved. In you they trusted. And was that trust misplaced? Oh no. They were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man. Look at me in this situation. I'm scorned by everyone. I'm despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults. They shake their heads and they say, "He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let God deliver him, since this one who is suffering delights so much in God." Can you believe this was written that many hundreds of years before the cross? Wow. And yet, even though I am scorned, even though I am mocked, even though they mock me with my own faith in God, you are the one, O God, who brought me out of the womb. You are the one who made me trust in you. Even at my mother's breast, from the earliest days of my childhood, I was taught, you are faithful. From birth, I was cast on you. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. So, please, O God, though I look forsaken, though I am mocked and shamed, O Father, don't be far from me. Trouble is near, and there's nobody else who can help me. Many bulls surround me. Strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Roaring lions that tear their prey. They open their mouths wide against me. I'm poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax and melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and they gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and they cast lots for my garment. But you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lion. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. Do you hear the song going back and forth? I look forsaken. I seem scorned. I seem forgotten. I'm dying. I'm in the dust of death. But wait a minute. God is faithful. You are the one I call out to. Don't be far from me. Oh God, don't let this turn into the thing they say it is. I came to this cross trusting you would not forsake me. I will declare your name to my people. in the assembly, I will praise you. Does this sound like a voice that thinks he's going to be dead for long? I'm going to praise you. I'll be in church soon. I'll be gathered with other believers, and I will be declaring your praise. I'll be singing while the worship leader leads. And everyone, everybody here, you who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him, revere him. All you descendants of Israel, for he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but he has listened to his cry for help. Oh God, from you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember, and they will turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion, for power, for faithfulness, for the rightful ruling power and authority belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him. There's no escape from this God. He is faithful. Those who cannot keep themselves alive, they'll kneel before him. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring it to a people not yet born. Because God is faithful. He has done it. He will do it. And so even Jesus' last breath on the cross is, it is finished. It's true. Has God forsaken Jesus? It looks like it. But the answer is no. I think I've hammered that home quite a lot. In fact, somebody told me, you know, I like the sermon series a lot, but it's kind of repetitive. I agree. And I plan to keep repeating, God is faithful. God is faithful. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on the Lord. Why? Because even though I've heard it 1,000 times, I forget. Even though I've heard it 1,000 times, I'm tempted to doubt. And so, since I've been so repetitive, and I think we can safely say the scriptures show us that God will not forsake us, that maybe a more salient question for us tonight is not how has God forsaken us, but how have we forsaken God? You know, the scriptures tell us in Romans 3, Jews and Gentiles are all alike. That's just what Paul's way of talking to Jews and saying you and everybody else. We're all alike under the power of sin. As it's written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There's no one who understands, no one who sees God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Then a little bit later, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Anybody here been unfaithful? Anybody here turned from God? We've talked about so many things in the last 2 months, about times of need, times of temptation, days of doubt, pursuing holiness, finding our place of service, all these different areas of our life. And I would suggest to you that in those very areas where we need God's help and we need God's faithfulness, those are oftentimes the very times that we become unfaithful. We let our needs or our doubts or our fears or our fatigue trick us into turning away. I want you to think of something on your mind right now. We've got a bunch of ribbons over here on tables. We're going to have a little exercise tonight. I'll confess to you that there's not enough ribbon on those tables for me. You only get one. I could use them all, but you only get one. I'm not asking you to name everything, every need, every sin, every temptation. But I am asking you to look right now, take a quick look inside and say, here's something that I'm pretty sure, here's an area of my life, here's something I'm doing, here's something I'm letting get in the way, some way that I'm forsaking what I know God wants for me. And I want you to write it on there. And then I want you to bring it over and come by and partake of communion. And once you've partaken of communion, nail that ribbon to the cross. We've got a big cross laying down here. We want everybody to nail a ribbon to the cross. Anywhere on there. Because it's so important for us to identify a way that we have forsaken God in order that we can take hold of His grace. How is He faithful to us? Well, Paul in Romans 4 quotes that Psalm 32 that JJ read to us tonight. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. God is faithful to us. He has a way of dealing with transgression and sin. In Romans 5, Paul goes on to say, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for the unfaithful. Very rarely will someone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His love, His faithful, enduring love in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, friends, even your sin can't get God to forsake you. God has a stubborn love. Forsaking you is the last thing on His mind. He takes no delight in the destruction of the wicked, but rejoices when a sinner turns and recognizes Him for the faithful God He is. In 1 John, the apostle writes, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful. He's what? If we will get honest about our sin, He is faithful and just, and He will forgive us and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we've claimed we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word is not in us. Only sinners need a cross. Only lost need a Savior. It's the faithless that marvel at a faithful God. How deep is the Father's love for us? Let's sing about that. I'm going to ask Jonathan to lead us. And as is my Good Friday tradition, we added a pile of verses. Let's sing these together. And then At a certain point, you will see the verses, the lyrics go away, and you'll see 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. And when that happens, I'm going to ask you if you will do this. If you will get up and make your way around the back. Everybody go to the back and come down the outside aisles, write on a ribbon. And when you get to those ribbons, think, how am I forsaking God? I knew this was going to be the talk tonight, so I've got mine all planned. Right on that, come over. There'll be four people serving, partake of communion, and then come nail that ribbon to the cross. Let's sing together.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father's love in Christ displayed, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I'd hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. Too often I've forsaken him, too many times to measure. But he has not forsaken me. His love endures forever. When I to him my sin confess, my just and faithful Savior will cleanse me from unrighteousness, forgives my sin and failure. My God, I lift my voice, believing you will hear me. Though I have sinned and turned away, by grace you still draw near me. No height, no depths, no power, no sword could ever separate me. That is in Christ my Lord, redeeming love that saves me. And I will yet declare your praise among the congregation. Your saving grace will be the song of every generation. You bore the cross and scorned its shame. You fought the fight and won it. The crucified has conquered death. Our faithful God has done it.
Thanks for listening. If you value our podcast and the ministry of our church, please consider making a contribution. To do so, just point your browser to valleycc.org and click the Give Online button. To get complete podcasts and archive information, look under the Resources tab on our website. While you're there, look around to find lots of other helpful resources. If you have comments or questions, send us a note at podcast@valleycc.org.